This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we will visit with Foster Campbell, the Public Service Commissioner. He has some ideas to convey regarding the governor's tax reform proposal. Foster Campbell, for more than a decade, has advanced a oil processing fee as the panacea for Louisiana's budget woes. We'll get his take on Governor Jindal's plan to scrap income taxes in favor of sales taxes. Also on the show, former Louisiana Christian Coalition head Sally Campbell, she held that post for 10 years, and Chris Andrews, the former pastor at First United Methodist Church, on the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion rights in America. All this, now the news on 89.3 WRKN. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your local number. Outside our area, please call 877-217-5757. We begin with Foster Campbell, Public Service Commissioner, based in Northwest Louisiana. He is at his office today in Bossier City. Good morning to you, Commissioner Campbell.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year, happy birthday. And last week, the Campbell family had a big winner.
Yeah, we did. We're real proud of that. We are. We have a bull named Justified, and he was grand champion at the Denver Livestock Show, National Western Livestock Show in Denver, which is the Super Bowl of all livestock shows in America. And we're tickled to death. We went up to Denver, and he showed against 75 bulls, and he was named grand champion. And that's a heck of a way to start the year out.
Justified is his name.
Yeah. Pretty big black bull. He's 2,106 pounds.
That's a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big fellow. Yeah, he's a big fellow.
Well, last time we spoke with you, you were advocating a change in prison phone calls. What happened?
Well, we won. That's what happened. And it was a great victory for people. As you know, or you might not know this, it's not a statistic that I'm proud of, Louisiana has more people incarcerated per person than any place on the earth. We have 40,000 prisoners in Louisiana, and I'm not saying anything about letting them out or anything like that, but the fact is we have more people incarcerated per population than any place on the face of the earth, more than China, Russia, Cuba, North Korea, whatever. But anyway, the problem was these people have families who live on the outside, obviously, and they communicate with their loved ones in prison. And the phone rates were astronomical. They were charging 30 cents a minute, which is 15 times higher than you and I pay, or more than 15 times higher. People like to talk to their families. The children like to talk to their dads or their mothers or whatever. Everyone in prison is not on death row. And what we were doing in Louisiana, we were just putting our foot on the back of these people who have no political voice at all. No one wants to take up for prisoners. We're not taking up for prisoners. We're taking up for their families. And we reduced the rates, which was a big, big fight on the Public Service Commission. No one else would ever, in the past, they wouldn't touch it because the sheriffs, in Louisiana, as you know, are the most powerful politicians in the state. The sheriffs run the parishes. And the sheriffs were getting, they get the money from a lot of the inmate telephones in their jails. Not saying that's illegal. It's just saying that the rate they charged was way, way too much. So the sheriffs were against it, and they came out in force at the Public Service Commission. We had two meetings on it, very, very hotly contested. We had two votes for sure. Myself and Jimmy Fields, who's retired now, and then Lambert Bossier was a swing vote. And Lambert, the first time, I don't know, he was wanting to hear more from the sheriffs. But he came around, and we finally unanimously voted for it. And the reason they voted for it unanimously, all five members, is because of the public outcry and the heat that was put on by the ministers around the state and other people that wanted to do the right thing. You cannot put your foot on the back of the heads of these people and squeeze blood out of a turnip. It was wrong, morally wrong, to do that, and everybody knew that. Let me give you a good example. Somebody calls in. If my son was in jail and I wanted to talk to him, well, I had to put up a $50 fee. And what happened was you put up a $50 fee, then they took $7 out of it. Some of these operators took $7 for origination fee. And then if we didn't use up the $43, say we used up 20, we had 23 coming back, you want your money back, they charge you $5 to get your money back. Those two extra charges there are totally illegal. You can't do that. They haven't been sanctioned by the Public Service Commission. And now I'm going to ask that this money is returned to the people plus interest. We do that every day at the Public Service Commission. If energy charges you too much and they have we audit their account and charge too much, we make them pay it back. These people should be paid back plus interest. They were absolutely taking money just illegally and charging them, and it was just a hell of a deal that should have never been started. Of course, it's the sheriffs and GOA, the state, is going to lose $2 or $3 million because they're doing that too, but it should have never started. People in jail have a right to talk to their people on the outside. If you believe in rehabilitation, which evidently we're not doing such a good job in Louisiana because we have so many people in jail, they keep coming back. Our recidivism rate is way, way higher than it should be. You got to let them communicate with their mothers or their wives or their little kids.
Now, on the topic that has been simmering for about 10 days now, Governor Jindal is advocating scrapping of the state income tax and corporate taxes with a planned replacement through sales taxes. How will this work, and do you support this objective?
No, I don't support it. It's typical, and this is nothing personal, but I could see how he would do that. Mr. Jindal is for the big companies, and he is for the big corporations and everything he can do to help people at the top end of the income bracket. No, it won't work. It's not a good idea. Right now, it's 4% sales tax. Some of the parishes have 6 or 7. They're up to 11. And then he wants to add 3 more to it. It'd be the highest in the United States. The taxes punishes people who don't make a lot of money. Wealthy people can pay a sales tax on an object. They're paying the same sales tax on the object as a guy who makes $35,000 a year. It's not a good idea. Mr. Jindal knows the solution. The solution is when I ran for governor, I wanted to get rid of the income tax, which I agree we ought to do. Progressive states like Florida and Tennessee doesn't have one, and neither does Texas, and they seem to be doing better than us. It'd be great to get rid of the income tax, but you got to replace it with something. And Mr. Jindal knows what to replace it with, but you couldn't get him close to it. He needs to ask the oil companies that are making billions to pay something rather than asking the people in Louisiana, by the way, which we have the second poorest population, rather than asking the people at the bottom to pay the big end of the tax, why don't he ask the big companies like Exxon and Chevron and Shell and those companies, by the way, to pay their fair share? They've torn our coast up. 50% of coastal erosion is caused by offshore activity. Well, Mr. Jindal wouldn't touch the oil companies, and that's where to get the money, and everybody knows it, but we just need some politicians with the plain old-fashioned guts to ask them to pay their fair share.
There is still much to be revealed regarding the plan, and it could potentially include something like you just espoused, but you don't sound like you're optimistic.
Well, I don't think we have the politicians with the guts to ask them to pay the fair share. I've been waiting around for about 10 years, and besides a few people that would help, I've never seen anybody stand up to the oil companies. You ask, we don't have a congressman who'll do it. Mary Landrieu won't do it. David Vitter's joined at the hip with them. He absolutely won't do it. Mr. Jindal, you're talking about scare. You can make Mr. Jindal run out of that Capitol screaming if you ask him to touch Exxon with a tax. There's no way he would do it, but that's the way to do it. Everybody knows it. Dave Treen was right. They beat Dave Treen on account of it. They went right back to Edwin Edwards. The oil company went right back to Edwin Edwards. When he ran, Dave Treen was absolutely right when he wanted to put some kind of fee for tearing up our coast when he had quail, coastal wetland environmental levy. Oil companies I like oil companies. They furnish jobs. which is great, but never forget we have the state of Louisiana, which is a poor state, parallel to Mississippi, and we should be the richest in the country, and we have let oil companies absolutely take over our state, damage our coastline, and never ask them to pay for it.
Well, Governor Romer appears to be moving in your direction. He's
well, it's about time. We've been neighbors all our life. We went to Bossier High School. He was ahead of me, but it's about time. What he wants to do is tax oil in the ground. Well, that won't generate the money. What he knows is the right thing to do. I hadn't talked to him about it, but I asked him to help when he was governor, and he wouldn't do it. Neither would Edwin. Neither would Mike Foster. None of them would touch them. What we have to do, though, is we have to tax foreign oil and gas coming into the state of Louisiana. And I agree. Let's get rid of the severance tax. That's one thing I want to agree with Bobby, Governor Jindal. He wants to do away with the severance tax. The way to do it is do away with the severance tax, which is dwindling, by the way. It's been dwindling since the 80s. Get rid of the severance tax and charge a simple 3% processing tax. It raised $3 billion a year, and it lets the people that can afford to pay the tax pay it, and it's justified because they have, no pun intended there, it is justified because they torn our coast up, and nobody wants to ask them to fix it. You don't have one congressman in our delegation that will stand up to the oil companies and say, we know that you tore up 50% of our coast. All our congressmen want to do is go ask Obama, Mr. President, pay for Louisiana. David Vitter is a leading cheerleader there. Pay for the coast. The government ought to pay for the coast. The government didn't drill the wells. Mr. Vitter knows that. But Mr. Vitter doesn't want to ask those people he's close to pay for the damage. And if that was Mr. Vitter's backyard, I guarantee you if you ran into a fence in Mr. Vitter's backyard, he'd want you to know who your insurance company is within a minute. But he's not doing it for the people he represents, and neither is Ms. Landrieu. Ms. Landrieu, now, you see the ads running on television with the oil companies praising Mrs. Landrieu. What does that mean, praising Mrs. Landrieu? The oil companies are paying for it. Well, that sort of makes me sort of chilly because they wouldn't praise me or they wouldn't be praising anybody wanting to pay for their fair share of the damage down there. So it is really disturbing. To say the least, mm-hmm. that here we are in this great state with all our natural resources. We're stuck in the mud with Mississippi. We got politicians that will not say, suey if the hogs had both legs. It just makes you sort of sick.
Well, here's another story, somewhat related, from Will Sintel of the Baton Rouge Advocate. He says, in a controversial change of plans, Governor Jindal's administration is doing an about-face on how to finance $325 million in rural road improvements. Sherry LaBosse, Secretary for the Department of Transportation, made the announcement in an email released at 7 p.m. on Friday. LaBosse said the new plans would involve selling bonds in increments rather than all at once, which Treasurer John Kennedy says is needed to take advantage of historically low interest rates. Kennedy, who's chairman of the State Bond Commission, says the DOT's latest strategy is unexpected. This is news to me. They did not contact me. Any thoughts about this particular move?
Well, I think that's smart to sell the bonds now and try to refinance all you can because we got a historical low interest rates. I looked at the 10-year Treasury yesterday yesterday in the Wall Street Journal. I think it's 1.78%. That's the same thing we've been talking about on the Public Service Commission. Or I have. I want the utility companies to reduce their rate of return down to 8.5 instead of 10 because they're borrowing money at an all-time low, and we ought to be looking at every bond that we have and see if we can, if they're callable, and see if you can call them and refinance. It's just good business to try to do everything you can now. You know, if you had lucky enough to have $1,000 or and you wanted to go down to your local bank, they might tell you we'll give you 0.2%, or maybe they don't even want the money. We've never seen anything like that.
297-5633 is your number outside the area. It is 877-217-5757. You may reach us via email, inkstershow@wrkf.org. We will return after this 90-second pause with Public Service Commissioner Foster Campbell, who spent 25 years in the Louisiana Senate, back after this brief timeout on WRKF. This is Jim Engster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. Foster Campbell is with us for a bit longer, and then we'll talk with Sally Campbell and Chris Andrews about the 40th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. Last week, much of the discussion on this program and elsewhere focused on Governor Jindal's proposal to do away with state income tax and replace the taxes involved with a sales tax. And Treasurer Kennedy was on this program. John Kennedy, in his comments, answered the question about whether this would be something the people would have to approve. This is how the Treasurer responded. Kevin? Should something like this go to a vote of the people?
Well, it will, ultimately, if because what the governor's proposing to do is really change the Constitution.
He can't do this without it being a constitutional amendment.
I don't think so, Jim. I mean, he may disagree with that, but our state income tax is in our Constitution.
All right. Now, the Jindal administration apparently will not send this to a vote of the people. Governor Romer had a tax reform measure. Foster Campbell was in the legislature at that time. It did go to a vote of the people and got shot down. Does this in any way surprise you, Commissioner Campbell?
I voted against Governor Romer's proposal before it ever went to the people, and I thought it was going to get shot down. But here we go again. People are not—they're very smart, and they realize this. They realize what helps and hurts them. I guarantee you one thing: if you put the processing tax to a vote of the people, it will pass by 80%, and that's what the oil companies know. If you let the people in Louisiana have a chance to say, we're going to ask the oil companies to pay 3% and take off the severance tax all across Louisiana, and the people, Mr. Chavez, will pay the same thing on oil and gas as the people at Elm Grove pay or the people at Lafayette pay, and the big oil companies will take this money and do away with the state income tax. That will pass by 80%, and everybody knows that. Mr. Kennedy knows that. Mr. Romer knows that. Mr. Jindal knows that. And especially Mr. Juno knows that. Mr. Juno, the head of lobby, who cannot stand a processing tax because the people that pay for his bills don't want it. It's not the people don't want it. It's the lobbyists that don't want it. It's the lobbies of the world that represent not the people, but who represent the big corporations doing business up and down the Mississippi River. That's what you got to understand. When you hear about that lobby doesn't support something, that means that lobby's membership, the ones, the big memberships, it's not the people up here that belong to lobby and Minden or Homer or Farmerville or Ruston. That's not who they're worried about. They're worried about the guys like the Dow and the Exxon and the Chevrons, those people who put up the money. They run lobby, and they run the agenda for lobby. And the tragedy is a lot of these legislators from all over Louisiana are not representing their districts when they vote right down the line with lobby, because lobby could care less about Farmerville, Louisiana, or care less about Ringgold, Louisiana, or Mansfield, Louisiana. They're worried about the Dow Chemicals and the Exxon, the guys that put up the big money. And that's who Mr. Jindal is dancing to, is the big money. And that's why he wants to raise the sales tax on the people. Don't put it on the oil companies that are making $1 billion a year. But they can't afford it. They might leave the state. How are they going to leave the state when we have 50,000 miles of pipeline that delivered that oil and gas all across America? And we have the Mississippi River. They can't leave the state. What we need is politicians with backbones that stand up and say, now listen, you've had a great day in Louisiana, but that's over with. We've got crumbling roads. We have poor education. We have pollution from you guys. You've torn our coast up. Now you're going to pay your fair share, and we're going to put that out to the people. Now get out there and start crying and tell them that you're going to leave the state, and we'll see what the people believe.
Now, you're a small business person, owner. Right. Are you a member of LABI?
Absolutely not. They don't represent small businesses.
Yeah, but they do.
They say they do, but they represent the big boys. Never forget that. Well, Mr. Juno takes his orders from the boys that put up the most money. They don't worry about the hardware store in Mansfield, Louisiana. They say they do, but they're fooling those people. They represent the big guys in Louisiana. Nothing more, nothing less. Who gives the most dues? They come up to North Louisiana.
But, doesn't a rising tide lift all boats?
Oh, I don't know about that. that's a good saying that John Kennedy uses, but I don't But I don't believe they represent small businesses, not at all. I think their interest in North Louisiana, they might represent General Motors and some of the bigger companies, but the little giddy guys here, they say they represent them, but they don't. They represent the biggest of the big, and that's who sets the policy for Louisiana, and that's who Mr. Jindal represents, the biggest. Just prime example, look what he's doing. Raise the sales tax on the poorest people living in America, and make sure you, by the way, make sure you get rid of the corporate tax.
All right, 297-5633, still a little bit of time to get in with Foster Campbell. Dorothy on Goodwood. Hi, Dorothy. You're on the air with Commissioner Campbell.
Good morning. I have a question. Are you considering running for governor, Mr. Campbell?
No, ma'am. I'm considering running for re-election to the Public Service Commission.
And that election is when?
Next year, and I'm sure I'll have plenty of opponents.
I would imagine the sheriffs might be fielding
a
candidate.
Oh, yeah. I don't think they're going to be real happy with me. I'm not. I hope they leave me alone, but it wouldn't be surprised if they would like to see me beat.
Well, some of those who were critical of your proposal to reduce prison phone calls said the reason that you went after the sheriffs was because they didn't support you.
Well, that's a silly thing. Well, they didn't support me, but that was 8 years ago. The reason I went after prison phones is because it was a nothing short of a scam being put on the people of Louisiana, and that's why I went after it. I voted against that in the legislature. I might have mentioned that to you. Cleo Fields had a bill around 95.
Yeah,
and I voted against it.
Yeah.
And that's why I went after it, because it was wrong.
Well, we're going to go to a few callers, and please be brief, as we will try to get to as many of you as we can in our remaining time with Commissioner Campbell. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil.
Good morning, sir, and thank you for having this, this conversation. My question is... I know it's kind of ridiculous to claim that the oil companies will leave Louisiana oil industry. I mean, my God, that's where the oil is, you know, under our ground and coastline. Do you have any idea of how much there is? I mean, at some point, it's going to run out.
That's a real good question. Now, here's the whole basis, and you put your finger right on it, the basis of the argument. You understand in 1926, I'm going to make this real short, 1926 when we put in the Constitution that you could only tax domestic oil, 95% of the oil that was processed in Louisiana was domestic. And today only about 4% is domestic and 96% is foreign. And we don't tax the 96%. So we're still on a 1921 tax system. How crazy is that? No, they have. I don't think. Maybe there's a limit, but it's endless the amount of oil and gas coming from offshore. Exxon just found a new field that has billions of barrels of oil south of Lake Charles. So did Chevron down there. So we have sat back here and lived in a poor state when it was really no need in it. But what we need is politicians with the guts that stand up to them and ask them to pay their fair share. We don't have them. It's a sad thing. And maybe one day we'll get some people that'll stand up to them and make them pay their fair share. They're making billions, and here we are neck and neck with Mississippi. Figure that out and let me know how that works.
You've been on this soapbox now for about 20 years.
Right.
You just turned 66 years old. Do you think when you're 86 you'll still be be out here talking? And
well, first of all, I hope I'm talking to you when I'm 86. But if I keep fooling around with jailhouse phones, it might be 67 and I'll be out of here. I don't know. But I hope we're having this conversation. But I hope when we're 86 and we meet again up at Bill Clinton's library like we did last year, bumped into each other, I hope we can sit out and drink a Coke and say, you know, that was a hell of a fight, but it was worth it. Louisiana now is the most progressive state, and the oil companies are finally paid to fix the coast, and things are great in Louisiana. And that's what I hope. But I don't know, Jim. It's doubtful because, you know, Mike Foster was against it. Edwin Edwards was against it. Buddy Romer was against it. And the guy that the more I think about it, I served with a lot of governors. The most honest governor by far in Louisiana who tried to do the right thing was Dave Treen.
a Republican.
I didn't like all his policies, but he was trying to do the right thing. The oil companies, and they turned on him just like that because he dared mention putting a tax on tearing up that coast. And he was their guy. You remember when he ran against Lewis Lambert? All the business people were for Dave Treen. All of Lafayette was for Dave Treen. Let him mention putting a tax on the oil companies. They left him just like that and went right back to Edwin because they knew Edwin wasn't going to do anything to him.
All right. Raoult on Segan. Good morning. You're on with Commissioner Campbell. Please be brief.
Good morning to everybody. I just want to commend the commissioner. I'm from out of state, but I love to hear a politician who calls out the name of the people and what their incentive is to make the decisions that they make. So it's great to hear that there's still people out there like you out there. So congratulations, and keep on fighting the good fight.
Thank you so much. And this is I don't mean to be look, man, I'm at my road's end on this. You can't keep tap dancing in Louisiana and expecting progress. You got to throw the tap dancing shoes off and call it like it is. There's a great song in New Orleans by Aaron Neville's, is "Tell It Like It Is." That's what we ought to be doing in Louisiana, not tell it like a lobbyist tell it. We ought to tell it like it really is, and that would solve a lot of our problems. We could solve the problems in Louisiana with strong leadership and politicians that are not afraid of lobbyists. That's the problem.
Dominic in Grand Coteau. Dominic, you're on with Commissioner Campbell.
Yeah, good morning, folks. Mr. Campbell, bravo to you. Thank you very much. Yeah, keep fighting the good fight. And maybe one day the public at large will listen. Jindal needs to be, you know, told on, and you did. The governor is wearing no clothes. And once again, thank you very much.
You live in a beautiful place. My dear friend Richard Baudouin is buried in Grand Coteau. And he was. I'm sure Jim knew him, and he was a great journalist over in Lafayette. And I went to that funeral out there. I never was so impressed in my life at a beautiful, sacred place at the Catholic Academy out there. And Richard was my dearest friend, so I can't say anything but something nice about your town. Thank you, and maybe we'll get it done one day.
Now, before we let you go, this is going to be an interesting segue. We're going to talk about the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. I recall when an abortion bill was passed in the Louisiana legislature, and then Governor Romer vetoed it, and then he didn't have the veto overturned because three senators, you being one, would not vote for a bill that was that restrictive on abortion. Do you recall that?
Somewhat. I remember the debate well. I know that I offered up amendment and it got defeated. I was against abortion with, of course, three exceptions. And then I had another exception if a lady was positive with AIDS that she'd have a choice to make the decision. I didn't get any votes on that either. That's a super controversial subject, but I still think that there ought to be some choices in there with a woman being raped or incest, or if they come back and say your child's going to be severely retarded, or if you have some kind of disease that could be passed on to this child inside, I think they ought to have some choices. But evidently it's gone from those points of view to where there are now people saying in case of rape, you got to have the baby, it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, that's a controversial issue, but I just think there are some cases where the family and the preacher and whoever, the medical doctor, ought to be consulted before. I don't think the governor will say, if you know your child is severely retarded, you're going to have him anyway.
George in Prairieville, please be brief. You'll be our final caller for Commissioner Campbell. Hi, George.
Yes, hello. I was wondering, Commissioner Campbell, what would it take to get the people the ability to have a vote oil companies pay their fair share?
Oh, well, it would be nothing. All you have to do is pass it in the legislature. Get
two-thirds vote, right?
Yeah, two-thirds vote. Get Jody Amidey to offer a bill. He's your senator down there. Get him to offer a bill, or get your representative to offer a bill. And all it is, I mean, that you got your finger right on it. If people say, oh, the oil companies will leave, I say, well, let us make that decision. They'll spend millions to tell you how bad it is. Realize this. When we had the blowout of the BP down there and everybody went crazy and Bobby Jindal got down there, and he was screaming about it, and so was Vitter screaming about it. That was a minuscule accident compared to coastal erosion. They hadn't said a word about coastal erosion unless they want Obama to pay for it all. You hadn't seen Mr. Jindal say one word about Exxon should pay their fair share, and you won't, because he's in their back pocket. Mr. Vitter won't say anything about fixing our coast down there. He's in their back pocket. Ms. Landrieu won't say that because she's in their back pocket. She's not going to ask the oil companies to pay for the damage. They want to blame the Corps of Engineers. They want to blame this. And then they want to cuss Obama out of everything they can say about him and made fun of him and voted against him and cussed him. And yet they want him to come to New Orleans and say, oh, by the way, gentlemen, I just brought y'all $60 jillion to fix the coast. Right? $60 jillion I brought down here to fix the coast, and I'm glad to do it. But we didn't drill those wells. We're just bringing it down here, Mr. Vitter, because you've been so nice to me.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Campbell.
Thank you.
Take care. See you later. Bye-bye. 297-5633 is your number. Sally Campbell, 10 years she was head of the Christian Coalition in Louisiana, and Chris Andrews, former pastor for many years, more than 20, at the First United Methodist Church in Baton Rouge. And they're here to talk about the implications of the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And as you know, as we know, the abortion rights decision, which was a 7-2 vote by the U.S. Supreme Court, it often has implications that go beyond politics and involve discussions in churches and places like this. Good morning to you, Sally.
Good morning, Jim.
Well, what's your assessment 40 years later of where we are as far as abortion rights in America?
Well, the abortion rights advocates are certainly better off. They've killed millions of babies, but as far as our soul, as our standing in the world, as a nation, I don't think we're any better off. And there are so many instances and references you could give that would show that. I mean, what has made it better? Do we have any less child abuse? Do we have any less unwanted pregnancies? Do we have any less strain on our Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security issues? Do we? That's the kind of questions that I'd like to know. And for what?
All right. So Chris Andrews, would you comment on this decision that took place 40 years ago today that is still bandied about, discussed, and debated to this day?
Well, you know, Jim and Sally, life is not a neat thing, and unfortunately there are issues that have to have decisions made about them that perhaps none of us are really pleased about, but nevertheless the decisions have to be made. And I think that the court's ruling in Roe v. Wade was a step in the right direction in that it dignified women, gave them the right to make choices about their own lives and their bodies. And I'm a pro-choice person. I think it's the right thing for the world that we live in.
297-5633, 877-217-5757. We'll return with Sally Campbell. For 10 years, she was head of the Christian Coalition in Louisiana. She is now in Mississippi. And Chris Andrews, he was pastor of the First United Methodist Church. As you can hear, they have different opinions on this issue. We'll be back in a minute and a half. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number. 40 years ago today, January 22nd, 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court, on a 7-2 vote, voted for the American public to have rights to abortion, extending a woman's decision to have an abortion. And this has been discussed with vigor ever since, and there have been legislative maneuvers almost every year at the Louisiana Capitol and in other state capitals across America. With us to talk about the implications of Roe v. Wade, Sally Campbell, 10 years she was head of the Christian Coalition in Louisiana, and the Reverend Chris Andrews. Now, Chris Andrews, some would say from the evangelical side of the political spectrum that shame on you for being pro-choice and being a minister. How do you square that decision that you've made?
Well, precisely because I have been a minister for, I guess, going on about 45 years now, and have sat with people in some rather agonizing situations where heart-wrenching decisions needed to be made and options needed to be chosen. And as I said earlier, life is not a neat thing, and I am a person who reverences life, as I'm sure Mrs. Campbell does and all of us do. But in the reverencing of life, you have to make decisions about what is the best option for a person to have a good life. Just one little anecdote. I once sat with a family whose 14-year-old daughter had been impregnated by a neighbor in a little bit of a philandering thing after school where she came home without her parents at home. And that child, you know, what was she facing? I and that family went together to Texas where she did have an abortion. I think it was the right decision. Agonizing, yes, but the right decision.
Sally, are there any cases where abortion would be the appropriate decision?
Oh, my. The Reverend is just breaking my heart. He has talked a whole lot about his counsel and his dealing with women and parents of this young lady. He hasn't said one word about the baby. The baby. The baby, Pastor. The murder of an innocent, unborn child. The little thing that God created, that he put in that womb, Pastor. You haven't mentioned the baby one time. I am an advocate, Jim, as you know, you've known me 20-something years. I am an advocate for the baby. The baby has no voice until it is actually born and brought into the world. But when it is conceived, it is alive, it is viable, it has a heartbeat, it feels, it is a human being.
I agree that it is a human being, and I too have agony over the life that never was. But as I said earlier, Ms. Campbell, life is not a neat thing, and choices have to be made, and you make those choices based on the evidence that you have and the quality of life of people who are there living with anguish in their hearts and faces and needing to make decisions that nobody feels good about, but nevertheless the decision needs to be made. And I just happen to think that a woman's right to choose to terminate a pregnancy in certain instances is the best decision that can be made. I do not believe in abortion as a method of birth control. I don't think it should be used for gender selection, and should be always agonizingly considered before that option is chosen. And yes, the life that's been conceived is sacred, excuse me, and we should revere that. But we also need to revere the life of the person who carries that life and consider the ramifications for pregnancies that are untimely and perhaps born out of tragic circumstances.
297-5633 is your number if you'd like to join us. InksterShow@WRKF.org works as well. As you can hear, both Sally and Chris Andrews are coming at this question from personal beliefs, deeply held personal beliefs, and quite often that overshadows the discussion of the law of the land and whether or not, despite your personal beliefs, the law of the land is the law of the land. Here's a question from Delia. She says, it is fine for Ms. Campbell and others to believe that a two-day-old fetus is a person, but this is a religious belief, and their attempt to prohibit abortion under any and all circumstances is nothing more than an attempt to impose their religious beliefs on others who think otherwise. Sally, would you respond?
Well, this person is obviously new to this argument or to this issue. It is not a religious issue. I mean, I have sat in hour after hour after hour after hour of testimony in the state of Louisiana trying to protect unborn babies. It is not a question of religion. It is a question of science. Abortion is not good for a woman and anyone. Most of the doctors who are OBGYNs that I know will tell you right straight out, abortion is not good for women. It has been linked to breast cancer, to other cancers in women. it's not a good thing for a woman to allow her body to be invaded to destroy a human life.
It's Chris Andrews.
Well, I'm sure that no medical procedure is really good for any of us, but ultimately, again, when life is happening as it sometimes does and someone finds themselves in a condition of pregnancy out of circumstances that are less than ideal, in fact, sometimes horrendous, I still maintain that the option to end that pregnancy needs to be before us, and I'm glad that it is the law of the land.
Rachel in the Garden District. Rachel, you're on the air with Sally Campbell and with Chris Andrews.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, it's Rachel.
There's one thing I haven't heard either of you mention yet. Of course, I just got in my car and turned on the program, is Scripture. And I believe somewhere in Scripture it says, thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not commit adultery, among other things. I don't understand sacrificing a life for the comfort of someone else.
I don't think we should sacrifice lives for the comfort of someone else either, but I just point out that this world is not a perfect place and that things go on in it that all of us wish would not. For example, the issue of capital punishment. You cite the scripture that says you shall not kill, and yet we sanction that by law and allow that to happen. It's not something that I believe in and wish did not happen. I wish that abortions wouldn't happen. But I know that sometimes there are cases where it seems to me mercy and compassion say this is the direction that we have to go. And that's why I'm glad that it's an option for people.
297-5633, still time to get in with two people who are extremely passionate about their positions regarding abortion rights. 297-5633 is the local number. Sally Campbell, in Mississippi right now, my understanding is that there are no abortion clinics that are in operation. Is that correct?
No, sir. I'm so proud to say that, too. Of course, I didn't really have a lot to do with that. I've only lived in Mississippi around 5 years. But I'm just so, so grateful that that the state of Mississippi has chosen to be a pro-life state. And that's only one of the things I love about Mississippi. But you're right. We don't allow people to murder their children.
Now, Chris Andrews, it seems that those who are against abortion, they have done things like the state of Mississippi has, make it almost impossible for an abortion clinic to operate, that in effect have made abortion illegal in particular areas. I would suppose somebody in Mississippi who needed or wanted an abortion would have to go to Louisiana or some other state.
I would assume that's the case, yes. Mm-hmm.
And there aren't that many places in Louisiana where abortion clinics are in operation either. 297-5633. Bill on Harold's Ferry. Bill, you're on with Sally and with Reverend Andrews. Hi, Bill.
Chris, Bill Smith.
Yeah.
And I'm pleased with Ms. Campbell. I think when we decide whether we need this decision, it'd be real simple. What would Jesus do?
All right. 297-5633 is your number. And it would be nice if we had someone who would address the law and whether or not the religious beliefs, such as what would Jesus do, do they coincide with the law that allows abortion in America? Debbie in Lafayette. Debbie, good morning. You're on with Reverend Andrews and with Sally Campbell.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I'm not one. I don't believe in abortions. However, I don't believe in someone interfering and invading another person's privacy as to why they want to abort. And these people who are talking about these children, are they going to stand in line to adopt a child that a woman has who can't afford that child? Are they going to take care of that child till that child graduates from high school and college? If you can't step in to take care of that child that person does not want to have, then maybe you should be keeping your opinion for yourself and not interfering in another woman's life. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Sally.
Yes, I have stepped in. I don't have any adopted children. I'm an adoption person, though. I have helped people with adoption. I have worked in crisis pregnancy centers, raised money for them over the years that provide an option for young women and girls rather than to kill a baby, to give it to a family who will love it, protect it, help it grow into a productive American citizen.
Debbie in Prairieville. Hi, Debbie. You're on with Chris Andrews and Sally Campbell. Hi, Debbie.
Hello. Yes, sir. I wanted to just give my opinion as a woman who was attacked in my home by a stranger. I absolutely would have had an abortion if I would have gotten pregnant. Through an event of violence, I believe every woman should have that right for her own body. I was a mother of three children, so I do know what it's like to carry a child. I myself would not have been able to carry a pregnancy from such a tragic event.
All right.
Debbie, I regret the unfortunate incident that you've experienced. That must have been terrible. And I appreciate what you just said, because you make the case, as far as I see it, and that is that life happens in sometimes tragic ways, and because of that, we need to have options. And I think particularly if we're going to revere life, then we should also dignify life by allowing women to have options and make choices that are right for them in terms of, you know, their own body and the say-so of what happens in that body. I think it would be a terrible thing if we used abortion as birth control, but in such circumstances such as the one that you might have been dealing with, it seems to me reasonable that it be an option for a woman.
Rape is a violent, violent, violent action, and it's unfortunate that it happens to women. Not only this woman who has called in, but thousands of women every day, every year. It does not excuse the violent act of abortion. Have it result in an abortion because a violent act was created upon a woman, it's not the baby's fault. The baby has no choice in how it's created.
Tony in the Garden District. Tony, you're on with Chris and Sally. Hi, Tony.
Hi, I just wanted to comment that I haven't heard much from either side of the argument, from either the pro-life or the pro-abortion side, to emphasize the alternative of adoption. Right now, that's a very expensive and complicated process, and I wonder if that were streamlined and more readily available, if it didn't cost a family $30,000 to $50,000.
All right. Chris,
I think that adoption is a marvelous thing my family has experienced. My mother was adopted, in fact, out of a home for unwed mothers in New Orleans in 1922. And certainly it is more complicated perhaps than it needs to be in our society. And again, I have sat with families who desperately wanted a child and worked through that process with them, with fine agencies in this community and beyond. Yes, that's an option. That's an option for people, as is sometimes, because of the tragic circumstances of the conception, abortion an option. And these options are there, and I think that with good counsel, prayer and medical advice, people need to be able to avail themselves of those options.
The adoption situation in this country has deteriorated from many years ago because of the government, because of regulations, because of stipulations that are put on there by the women's movement who would prefer to abort a child as opposed to giving it to a loving family.
Annette on Corsi. Hi, Annette. You're on with Sally and Chris. Hi, Annette.
Yes, hi. I just want to comment. I don't believe in abortion either, and I probably would never have one. But there are incidences when I think it should be okay to have legalized. I have worked in a medical field in the hospitals, and people that can't have abortions, they'll find a way to abort.
Briefly, Sally, your response.
They will find a way. They'll carry 14 and 13 year old girls across state lines and make sure they get an abortion. That still doesn't talk about the baby.
Chris Andrews.
Well, you know, the babies are sacred and women are sacred and life is sacred, and unfortunately in the world that we live in, those tensions are real, and sometimes agonizing decisions have to be made. But at least let us have the playing field where the decisions can be made.
Thank you, Chris Andrews, and thank you, Sally Campbell, and thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.